I always have to redo that. Maybe I should make you do the intro.
That would involve me reading the script instead of just going off track. Is that what you want?
No, I
want
to do it my way.
Welcome to Bellwether Friends. Definitely not the first podcast to talk about pop culture and why you should like what you like. You should trust us because we're librarians.
That's right. This is a super guest fan. Thank you, Jenny.
No problem.
That was awesome. Maybe she'll do the script henceforth.
Yeah, we can just copy and paste. This is episode 71. I'm Anna.
No, it's not. It's 72.
Oh, rats. It's episode 72. I didn't change it in the script. Here we go. Let me fix that.
That was Anna, who is working with her numbers now.
Yeah.
I'm Aline, and I've been yawning a lot, so if you hear any walrus noises, that's what that is.
And we have with us a special guest.
I'm Jenny.
Yay!
I'm Jenny. I have a teething baby.
Oh. You're a stronger woman than I am.
Thank you.
I never had a teething baby.
I did.
But you were a teething baby at one point, I'm assuming.
I have teeth, and I was a baby, so I'm guessing you're right. We'd have to check with Surly Mom on that. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about television of the children's variety. And most of the ones that we prepped are animated. We don't have to limit ourselves to animated.
Bananas in pajamas, we're coming down the stairs. Okay.
There are going to be a lot of theme songs, I assume, that come up. So we're gonna start by just getting a bunch of them out of the way.
Bananas in pajamas, they're coming down in pairs.
So, I think I used to have a little bananas in pajama, like little stuffed animal toy.
Did you?
I totally did. So my husband and I sing that song to my oldest, Elle, who's 6, a lot, and she thought we made it up. And we had to say, no.
It's real.
It was a real show. Luckily now there's YouTube, so we could prove it.
I mean, I think I got my stuffed banana in pajama, like, as a grown-up.
No. I got mine. I won it at my, like, high school graduation end-of-year party.
So this...
That's interesting.
This quiz is going to illuminate our age differences.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I love that.
Well, basically, if you didn't grow up watching exactly the shows that I watched, you're gonna be like, what is that?
Okay.
But I put a few old ones in there and a few newer ones in there, just on the off chance that someone...
I've got a few in my head that I'll sing for you if they're not on the quiz.
Great, thanks.
I am dancing.
I figured.
Accordingly.
Do we want to keep score? We'll just do this for fun.
If you give me a pen, I'll keep score.
Okay. All right, we're going to start off with an easy one.
Are Aline and Jenny on the same team?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You can be on the same team. I'm not going to pit you against each other. I'm a very gentle game show host.
Okay, Alex.
Everyone wins. Good. No, Alex isn't gentle. He's rude.
What?
What do you mean, what?
The music's contagious.
Yeah.
Is it
old? Is that Jim and the Holograms?
It is Jim and the Holograms.
Oh, yay, thank you. This is good. I always like it when the guest is on my team.
The guest is always on your team.
I know, that's why I like it.
This is older. Are you ready, Aline?
Uh-huh. From you now. The Electric Company.
No, that's not animated. I'm sorry, all of these are animated.
All of these are animated?
Yep.
I don't know any animated ones.
Are you sure? From you now.
I don't know that one.
The Partridge Family?
The Partridge Family? Is
there was a cartoon.
Was it an animated partridge?
There was a cartoon.
All right.
Of the Partridge Family.
We'll just run it for longer and then you'll know. From you now.
Come on, to me, do. Oh my goodness.
Scooby-Doo.
How did I miss that one?
Well,
it was a weird part of it. Did the Archies sing that?
I don't know.
Sounds like the Archies.
So when I do this, I can never tell if it's too easy or not. Like, I made it, I made some of the musical ones too easy, so I had to get hard. Anyway, here we go. Ellie's looking at me like, what? They're saying, now you know the plot.
Now you know the plot. That's Animaniacs.
Yeah.
I never watched the Animaniacs.
I know,
isn't it shocking?
I
think that I was like 20 minutes too old. My good friend has baby brothers, so she was like 6 or 8 when her brother was born, and then her other brother was born right after that. So she was semi-babysitting, coaching them on childhood. And they watched a lot of Animaniacs.
I watched a lot of Animaniacs.
I remember with Animaniacs, it was like junior high-ish, but it was like cool enough of a show that like you could still watch it in junior high, but it was on at a weird time. So I could only watch it on snow days.
Oh.
Because it was on too late in the morning.
Like me and Perry Mason.
Okay. Only on snow days. Did you grow up with a lot of snow days? Because that would not be very reliable for my growing up years.
Not really. I'm from northern Wisconsin, but from like the district that never canceled.
Yeah.
Right. Because there, I know there are parts of the states that gets lots of snow that don't ever cancel anything because they just live.
Yeah, we were like, you can handle it. Yeah. It snows all the time. Greatest snow on earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on the license plate.
Okay. Carry on.
That one, if Amy, Calzone Amy, hears, she will know.
Slayer of Text? Is that Ghost Rider? No, that's not animated.
Shredder. It's his Shredder Attacks.
Shredder Attacks? Is it some sort of office?
No, is it Shredder Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Correct.
Oh, well, there you go. Look at you. They're all animated. I want to, like, it's the new zoo review. Shredder of Attacks! These turtle boys don't cut them no
slack! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
No.
On the half shell.
Yeah.
I did know the heroes on the half shell thing.
Turtle power.
Oh my gosh.
All right, well, here we'll go. We'll go old school again.
Sally Jesse Michelangelo.
Sally Jesse Donatello.
Sally Jesse Leonardo.
Maybe it wasn't a good idea to start with this.
There will be content later in the episode.
This is content.
Okay. I have opinions.
I will put a timestamp in the show notes if you want to skip ahead.
You don't. You want all the earworms. Ready? Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to
right. When there is a wrong to right.
Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right. It sounds like some sort of cowboy thing.
Mm-hmm. It is not Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars. But I have no idea.
Are you playing more?
Well, every time I play more, I get a point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't given you any points yet. I should write this down. Okay. Today, that means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Mighty Mouse. Here I come to save the day. Oh, boy.
Okay, so I used to get Mighty Mouse and Danger Mouse confused.
Oh.
Danger Mouse is way better, but okay. I've been watching it again because it's on Netflix. And Baron von Greenback, who is the villain in Danger Mouse, sounds exactly like Lord Voldemort.
Ooh.
I like that.
I keep expecting him to go, Harry Potter.
Wait a minute. All right, this one's going to be super easy.
Okay.
You ready?
Promises, promise. I used to Powerpuff Girls? No, sorry.
It's My Little Pony.
Oh, which we just watched like 4 episodes of in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Thanks, Jenny.
Oh, thanks, Jenny.
It haunts my dreams.
Flintstones.
It's Pedro out of his story.
DuckTales. She played that right as I took a drink, so we almost got, like, ginger beer out my everywhere. Nose.
Have you seen... Oh, I think I'm going to change my musical obsession.
Perfect.
And I'm going to spoil it right now.
You can
now.
Have more than one.
What, you're going to spoil it? Oh, yes, do spoil it.
There is a Google Saturday Morning Slow Jam
on YouTube. Oh, my gosh.
And it is the same guys who do Postmodern Jukebox.
Okay.
And there is a slow jam version of the theme from DuckTales that is
good.
Amazing, and everyone should hear it.
Okay, we will add it to the Musical Obsessions playlist if it is available on Spotify.
I think it is.
Well, we can link it either way.
That's great.
This is good. We're digressing productively now.
We are doing aggressive digression. Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget.
Good job, Aline.
go.
It was a Matthew Broderick movie.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Under the Sea.
I never watched
SpongeBob. He lives in a pineapple under the sea. SpongeBob SquarePants.
I never watched SpongeBob.
I do observe like a Krabby Patty. And
Horus is he.
Did you ever watch this show? I think if you didn't watch it, you didn't watch it.
Gummy Bears.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I did not watch it. I knew of its existence. You better have. How many more are there?
So we are slightly more than halfway through.
Okay. I'm just waiting for one that better be there. And
what if it's not there?
We're going to have words.
I have to hear more of Gummy Bears. Faithful and friendly with stories to share. All through the forest,
they sing out in chorus. Marching along as their song fills the air. It has the feeling of the songs bouncing here and there and everywhere.
It has the feel, a lot of these have the feel of like an 80s anthem.
Okay.
I'm going to skip ahead and
play. Because it was the
80s. Right, I'm going to skip ahead and play this one because it really does. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I know this. Okay. I've watched a lot of it.
Talk it through. I could give you an easy hint, but I'm not going to. Are you sure it's not a Huey Lewis song?
It sounds like a Huey Lewis song.
It really does.
It's, there's the words of the name of the show is dun, dun, da 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 dun. Mm-hmm. It's not Teen Titans.
Nope.
You gonna play more of it?
That's Puffy Yummy Yumi.
It is. Here, I'll play more and then you'll be like, oh, okay. Hopefully you can do the instrumental part.
Chipmunks. I've watched a lot of Chipmunks.
Well, who hasn't?
Currently, it is Eileen and Jenny 10, Anna 4,
hey!
But I am not keeping track of points very effectively.
No, you're not. That's fine. I've been watching you. You're doing a terrible job. All right, let's...
That's the Powerpuff Girls.
There you go. This one, we'll see. Yeah, I'm gonna have to give you more. Let me see. You can't really hear the thing that I thought you could hear, so here. Meet George Jetson! There you go.
Nice.
Oh, I watched a lot of Jetsons. So much Jetsons.
I really like the Jetsons.
I don't think I ever watched.
You know what you're missing. Is that it?
No, I've got six more.
Six more, okay.
I wanna know you. Well, now let's see.
The show's about to start!
I watched a lot of this show.
Did you?
Yes.
Do you quote it?
No.
Okay.
The show's about to start!
I don't know that one.
Okay, yeah.
The show's about to start!
I'm coming as fast as I can!
Oh.
Wait to the
it's
people!
It's Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
I recognized his voice.
Right.
But I never watched it. It was on CBS, and we didn't get that channel.
Oh. All right, we have five more.
Okay. We'll do the same for you.
I think if I add a couple more seconds, it'll be fine. We'll do the same for you. When you rule,
what's kind of weird, and you wish that you were there. No. Okay, you get that point because you had to.
That's all right. Surfing on a sound wave. No, surfing on
surfing
a sound
wave. Surfing on a sound wave.
No. Surfing on a sound wave. Swinging through the
stars. Take a left at your intestine. Take your second right back. This is awesome, but I have no idea what
it is. Go sailing right past Mark. It is the Magic School Bus.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched any Magic School Bus.
Hey, don't look over my shoulder. I'm not going to have the thing that you want, I'm pretty
no,
sure.
No, you're not. The enemy fighting to save the day.
Who's fighting to save the day?
The enemy fighting to save the day.
They all were.
Right?
Yes, but one of them was more authentic than others. No, although I did have He-Man on my short list.
Thundar the Barbarian?
No.
The enemy fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there. Fighting for freedom over land and...
Air.
Who is it?
It's G.I. Joe. He's a real American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
Not allowed to watch G.I. Joe.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been if they had known.
No, it was really... I could watch, like, He-Man and everything, because fantasy violence was okay, but realistic militaristic violence was not.
Realistic.
Huh. This is good to know. Is that it?
No, there are two more.
Okay.
What is it that you want?
La 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 la
didn't.
It was started at 7:30 on Saturday mornings, and if I had woken my mom up at 7:30 on Saturday mornings, she would have murdered me in cold blood. And so I watched the Smurfs.
Okay.
So here's the thing with the Smurfs that most people never saw this episode or didn't realize, but Smurfette was not a real Smurf.
Right,
she was invented by Gargamel to distract all the guy Smurfs, and then she went and turned Smurfy on him.
Oh, that's because it's just the Smurfiness of Smurfing is
I did have Smurfs on here, but I thought I'd keep it to 20.
Thank you for keeping it to 20.
Okay, let me finish.
I want to talk about the Smurfs more.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think I really have anything else to say about Smurfs, but I think it's awesome that Smurfette was invented by Gargamel. And the new movie, the newest movie, had, like, Little Smurf Amazon parallel world.
I mean, we still aren't going to watch it, but I approve.
Right. Okay, go on.
Here we go. We'll always say...
That is Steven Universe, which I just watched today in preparation for today.
We love Steven Universe.
I have to play the rest of that because it's not very long in the first place. And everyone should watch Steven Universe.
Anyway. It has lots of good music besides the theme song.
It does. We are the crystal gems. We'll always save the day. And if you think we can, we'll always find a way.
Steven.
All right, here's the last one.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Jenny got it.
What?
No, it's Teen Titans. You already mentioned them.
TEENTITANS.
Okay, so I'm glad Jenny got it. That is a very precise scorekeeping. Brings us to Aline and Jenny 12 and a 6.
I think I had 7.
But that's not an even number, so we would have taken one off anyhow.
Oh, okay, fine.
Everyone wins. I am super embarrassed at how many of those I know.
Don't be embarrassed.
I think you should be proud. This is something to be proud of. This is a safe space, Jenny.
Right. So where do we want to start our discussion? You're the one, Jenny, that said you had opinions. Do you just want to start saying your opinions?
And then we'll jump in.
So, which ones did you watch?
Okay, we watched My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, episode 1 and 2, and part of episode 8, and part of episode 9. Okay. We watched Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Daniel's Babysitter, and Daniel Goes to School. We watched Peppa Pig.
The Grown Ups Come Back episode.
Yes.
Grown Ups Come Back. And then, course, we spent a lot of time. Do you need a pen?
No, I need my notebook.
Oh, we spent a lot of time making editorial comments about misleading things.
We watched the Sun, Sea, and Snow episode of Peppa Pig and the Power Cut episode of Peppa Pig. And we watched a couple of episodes of Adventure Time from the Stakes, where that goes in the scheme of things. We watched episode 1 of Furchester Hotel. We watched episode 1 of... the Elmo one.
Chinese Elmo
one.
which I have the name of written down. Fun Fun Elmo.
Fun Fun Elmo.
And that's it, I think. So we are happy to talk about any of those in depth.
I love Peppa Pig.
Oh, good. We loved Peppa Pig, too.
Peppa Pig's great. And right now I'm really sad because my oldest has, like, aged out of Peppa, and my youngest hasn't aged into it yet.
Oh, so it's just you watching Peppa on your own?
Yeah. What I love about Peppa is it's been off the air, and I think, so despite the fact that they all have British accents, I believe it's actually an Australian show.
Huh.
And it's been off the air for a few years in Australia, but they were showing it on Nickelodeon. So like 3 or 4 years after it got off the air, they had to make a new season because all of a sudden it hit it big with American kids. Like, and they were demanding more. And it was really funny because it was like right when my daughter was aging out of it. It was right when all of a sudden I could get like a Peppa Pig t-shirt, and then the books started coming out. And it's really interesting at the library when you look at the hardcover books, because they take, you know, 3 or 4 episodes that have similar themes and kind of mash them into one longer, more complex story, instead of just being like, here's a storybook of this 5-minute episode of a TV show you've already seen, which is interesting.
That's nice.
Yeah. I like how all of the animals have very distinctive regional British accents.
Yes. I loved it.
I don't think you didn't see one with Gampy Rabbit.
No, nope. I don't think so.
But Gampy Rabbit is this lighthouse keeper who's always like, I'm so alone. How long has it been since you've had a visitor? 3 hours. But he's voiced by Brian Blessed.
Oh, good.
Yes. And he's great because he always has a song that the kids want to hear, and all the adults are like, please don't, just don't. But one of the things I like about Peppa is every episode ends with everyone laughing, like rolling around on the floor laughing. A lot of the times when the kids do something, the adults just kind of like give each other a look over the kids' heads but don't respond in a way that's very realistic. Like, they know their kids are being crazy, but they're kids, and that's what kids are like. But one of my big problems, and really my only problem with Peppa, is Daddy Pig's big round tummy. And they're always talking about how Daddy Pig has a big round tummy, and Daddy Pig needs to exercise or not eat as many sweets. When Daddy Pig is the exact same size as every other adult male animal on that TV show. Like,
all why the are other they fat shaming Daddy Pig?
I don't know. That is my question. I'm like, he's the same size and shape because it's just like circles of like all the other grown-up dudes. Like, he's not fatter than any of them.
And even if he was, right?
Even if he was. But he's not. Like, it's, what? But I also like Peppa Pig because it is only 5 minutes long.
Yes.
So if you're in complex parental negotiations with a child,
you can say, fine, like, one more episode.
You'd be like, one episode of Peppa, because it's 5 minutes. That's, and then everyone's happy.
This is perfect. Good. I wish it had been around for me 7 years ago.
Yeah. I think also because it's only 5 minutes, it's not annoying because it's only 5 minutes. And even that's if you true. Watch like 20 in a row, because it's a different story every time. And with all the cute accents, it's not annoying. An interesting side product of Peppa Pig, and I'm not the only parent who has noticed this, is our children now speak British English.
Nice.
I like that. I like it when a small child is cross about something or they say that they're keen on something. Yes.
Well, like, every time the power goes out, Elsa, my oldest, is always like, it's a power cut. Mommy, we've had a power cut.
Awesome.
And she thinks like zebra is a cartoon character and zebra is the animal at the zoo. Like, for a long time, she like had those differentiated in her mind.
That's awesome.
It's adorable.
Peppa has a cousin, Baby Alexander, but because it's, you know, British accents, it's Baby Alexander. And she's like, Mommy, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's Baby Alexander.
Oh, like, okay.
It's Alexander, dude.
That's great.
And she used to call it her bathing costume.
I think she still should.
I think so, too.
I do, too.
I have two observations.
Okay.
Number one is, I thought it was adorable, but I wondered how much an accent makes me forgive. You know, would I find this as adorable if everyone was having American accents? And then we watched...
Oh, no, it's all the accent work. And it's because it's so many different accents. It gets away with so much.
No, what I found out was we watched an episode of Furchester Hotel. Oh, and an accent does not make me forgive anything. That's what I learned. But my more global question is, you mentioned that, like, you can see the adult pigs or whoever looking at each other. So that seems to be, like, a message to parents who might be watching. How important do you think it is for a show to be watchable by the parents also?
I think there needs to be a balance, because, especially because, like, often you're watching these, like, while the coffee is brewing, so you haven't had that cup of coffee yet. So you need something to keep you from stabbing your eye out with a fork.
Okay.
Go totally over the heads. But it's funny because I noticed this with Sesame Street, because sometimes they put these deep references in. And then, like, I'm laughing hysterically, and my kids are like, "Mommy, what's funny about this?" And I'm like, "How do I explain a Twin Peaks reference in this Cookie Monster take on the Wizard of Oz?"
How do you explain a Twin Peaks reference in a Cookie Monster take on the Wizard of Oz?
You don't.
Well, because he had to go to the Emerald City at one point, but he opened up the red door, and it was like, he opens it up, and it's the red room from the lodge.
Oh my gosh. So that is something, as a non, I don't even know how to qualify myself in this. I haven't watched a lot of children's TV, and I haven't been forced to watch a lot of children's TV. And I have seen things in our homework for this episode, but also previously
I've seen things that you don't want to see.
And there are standards of what they need to be doing for pre-literate children. And some of it has to do with some early literacy practices that I know from librarianship and various, and attention span things and repeating things over and over and having, like, set messages that are given to small children. And I would use, like, Barney as an example of a thing that was universally hated by parents and universally adored by small children. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a super old reference, but that's the one, that's my frame of reference. And then, but I think about, like, the Teletubbies that were practically pre-verbal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there was the color and the lights and the sparkling and the things that you could park someone in front of for 10 minutes while you waited for your coffee to brew.
So, or you just get stoned.
That was the thing. That was also a thing.
Teletubbies was big when I was in college.
Yeah. I knew that part of it. I think about some of that stuff, and then I see something like Peppa Pig it was enjoyable. We watched it on our own. I mean, little G has aged out of it, but I know I have a librarian friend whose little girl is obsessed with Peppa. But there was humor, and there was enjoyment, and there were things that they were doing and things that they were saying, like the bus driver getting in the... They were taking the coach trip to the seaside, even though it snowed 3 feet overnight. And it was just all super enjoyable. And then we ended up in Furchester Hotel when we really wanted to check out.
It's like the Hotel California.
Yes. The interesting thing about Miss Rabbit, the bus driver, she's kind of like the Kirk of Peppa Pig, because she has every odd job imaginable. She's the bus driver. She sells ice creams at the park. She's the ticket taker when you go on holiday. She runs the volunteer fire department. She's the checker at the grocery store.
I love there being a Kirk analog.
Peppa Pig. That would be Kirk from the Gilmore Girls, in case you don't know what we're talking about.
And there's this really great episode because she's sisters with Mrs. Rabbit, who's Rebecca Rabbit's mom, and she trips over a toy and, like, sprains her ankle, so she has to stay home with the kids while her sister goes out and does all the odd jobs, and at the end they're just like, "Oh my god, your life is so hard," like, both of them.
This is good. I like it.
It was. But I like Peppa Pig because it doesn't have a lot that's, like, specifically aimed at grown-ups, like a Twin Peaks reference. But the grown-ups are very realistic in how they kind of communicate over the kids' heads in a way that I don't think... I think that the kids see in themselves, because they see their parents throwing glances over each other's heads without knowing what they mean.
Yes.
So it's really something that's, like, more realistic for, you know, a show that's just animated, various animated animals with adorable accents.
So do we want to touch on Furchester Hotel?
So Furchester Hotel was introduced to me, like, 2 weeks ago. So we've recently restarted started watching Sesame Street again because my youngest is starting to age into that. My oldest has an iPad and it has Netflix on it. And she knows she can watch pretty much anything that's Sesame Street related, almost all Disney, a few other things. And then she can come and ask, you know, if there's something else that she wants to watch. And her father and I can take a quick look and see if that's appropriate. And that's great if she wants to watch TV and then it's okay for her to watch TV, but I do not want to watch TV. I'm like, you can watch it on your iPad with your headphones.
Right. Clever.
Yes. It's also good for like airplanes and stuff, or when we're trying to have adult conversations when friends come over. So she discovered Furchester. I was watching all of it on her iPad and she's like, let's watch it on the big TV so, you know, the youngest one can see it. And I was like, okay. And so I had to watch like 4 episodes in a row. And I was like, what fresh hell is this? And the only reason I told you guys to watch it was because it was only like 11 minutes long.
No, it was because you wanted someone else to join you.
Wait a minute. Misery. That was only 11 minutes?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have to say that I grew up watching The Muppet Show, the original, the variety show format. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I watched it in syndication with my parents when I was older than it. So we would eat dinner and we would adjourn to the den and we would watch The Muppet Show and we'd watch Wheel of Fortune and we would watch Jeopardy together. And this is like what we did of an evening, or maybe World News Tonight, then The Muppet Show. Anyway, but I am a baseline Muppet lover. I think the Muppets are awesome. I watched Sesame Street as a tiny person because it did exist when I was a tiny person. Thank you very much. I am the very oldest person who watched Sesame Street as a tiny person. I love Muppets. And so we turned this on and I was like, these are Muppets. And the artistry of the creation of the Muppets is still intact and they're still doing great things at Henson Central or whatever they call that place. And then it started to penetrate what they were doing and what they were talking about. And I was just very, very, very sad.
So I think it's trying to be Elmo Does Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, kind of.
With failing to realize what made Fawlty Towers funny.
What made Fawlty Towers funny?
Well, like, because John Cleese was terrible. His wife wasn't great, or the characters they played. Like, and he was just, like, really mean and bad, and you can't do that if Elmo is running the show. But then you have, like, Cookie Monster as the clueless waiter and a lot of other things, and I'm like, this is, like, trying to do, like, a children's version of Muppets Do Fawlty Towers, but you can't because there's no way to make Fawlty Towers appropriate for children.
Point.
And this is just terrible on every single level. And why would they do this? And why does my daughter love it? What is wrong with her?
I would like for y'all to answer that question, though, as parents who have been involved. Are you stopping me?
No.
Okay, Anna held out her hand. As parents who have watched children's television with your children and possibly without your children, and you don't have to go back to your own experience with children's TV unless you want to, but I want to know if you can put your finger on what makes a child love something that is an atrocity. Apart from what I was talking about with early literacy processes and what their properly made children's television is trying to do, there's a difference. There's like stuff that's doing something that you still don't want to be subject to, but then there's stuff that's somehow connecting with your kids on another level that is just a terrible thing.
I know, because I think some of it, like, there are some shows that my daughter really likes, like Mermaids, H2O, and Littlest Pet Shop, and I'm like, ugh, this is just like not great. But, you know, there's a lot of TV that I like that is not great.
It's a valid point.
You know, and I think it ties in the same thing. Like, we all have, like, yeah, this isn't great, but I love it. And fight me, bro. But, like, and with this, I'm like, okay, so it's Elmo, and it's Cookie Monster, and they have nice accents, but I don't know what's there. And I'm wondering it, but, like, she's seen a lot of the Muppets.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, I'm super proud of her, though, because the first time I ever showed her was like a YouTube clip of like the Muppets. And she kind of turned to me. She was like 2.5. She's like, Mommy, that pig sounds like Grover.
Really?
I was like, huh. Those are some good ears.
Wow.
Because they're both great guys.
That's awesome.
Her first comment about Miss Piggy was, that pig sounds like Grover.
I'm impressed because I have trouble hearing it.
I know, me. Like, when she said it, I was like, you're right. But, like, I'd never, like, put those together.
Yeah, I can hear Grover and Yoda, but not Miss Piggy. Yeah.
I have 2 points.
Oh, good.
Point number one is, I'm old enough that I still don't like Elmo as an interloper.
Right.
That the addition of Elmo does not make me inherently interested in a product. It makes me suspicious of the product.
Yes.
And secondly, I seem to remember, I can't put my finger on something that little G wanted to watch that I was like, nope, I don't like that. Because I pretty carefully filtered the things that he watched. And I don't know what the number one most hated children's TV show is right now, but thinking about, like, he's not watched Barney, and he's not watched Dora, and he's not watched Caillou, and he's, like, not watched a lot of the things that I see people beating their heads on the table over.
Right.
And I don't know how I avoided that, being like, we're gonna watch this now.
Right.
You know, we do most of our most of our TV watching in general on Netflix and Hulu and through apps. Like, we don't, like, really the only time we watch, like, over-the-air TV is for live events. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trying to explain to kids today about how, you know, we only could watch a show for a half hour at a very specific time every week. And if you missed it, you missed it. And you couldn't rewatch the same episode 3 times in a row.
Wait a minute.
Like, I just don't understand this. So she, and my oldest, watched, like, Barney and Dora and Caillou at daycare.
Oh no.
And the thing is like, she knew with the iPad, because there were some games she had, like, a drawing app and stuff, so she knew the concept of the in-app purchase.
Oh.
Because she's like, mommy, won't this work? Why won't this work? I'm like, because they want more money from mommy, so ignore that part.
So no.
And so, like, the TV that would be okay, and then Netflix at the bottom would be like, you know, others have watched this. And she's like, mama, there's Barney. I'm like, oh no, honey, that's an in-app purchase. That won't work on our TV.
Also clever.
That's terrible.
This is good. You're going to be on a BuzzFeed list of lies you told your kids. I just read a BuzzFeed list like that the other day.
That's a good one.
And she totally bought it until she was old enough to watch it on the iPad. And now there's some TV shows. I'm like, you know what, honey? I don't want to watch that. Mommy doesn't like that show. You can watch it on your iPad, so mommy doesn't have to watch it. But if you want to watch TV, like, on the big TV with mommy, it picks up melts. Because I'm not watching that right now.
Yeah.
This is good. It's good that there's, like, a policy and you have an alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. I mean, there are some shows that I don't watch with him anymore that we... So we DVR, like, the Lego
Nexo Knights.
Yeah, the Nexo Knights. But he was watching the Lego Elves show on Netflix also. And if I hadn't been, like, bustling around trying to get his lunch ready for school, I totally would have been sitting there watching it with him.
Yeah, so we have, like, an open plan so I can cook and watch TV at the same time.
Oh, that's so smart.
I think
it is so nice.
That I'm thinking about getting up and watching the Smurfs, and I think that when my mom got her feet on the ground on Saturday mornings, that was when the cartoon watching or whatever it was over. Mm. Because it was, you know, there's the television in the house, and there's no escaping it, and there's no DVRing or headphones or Netflix or anything like that. Okay, that's going off, and we're not turning the TV on again until football comes on.
I did not watch Saturday morning cartoons.
What?
I had piano lessons on Saturday morning.
Oh my gosh, the cruelty. Wow.
So I know a ton of kids. I knew a ton of kids that watched them, but I did not watch them.
What did you do on Saturday mornings?
I'm not sure.
I mean, you probably read books, but...
I mean, yes. But I watched almost all of my television after school.
Yeah, I watched television after school, too. And you have to turn off the TV in time for it to cool down before your mom gets home from work. I had strategies. Sometimes she would come home and feel the TV, and I'd be like, ugh. But it was, you know, Funorama and the Brady Bunch, and yeah.
Oh, mine was People's Court, because I wasn't allowed to watch that. So we'd watch it until my mom pulled into the driveway and then turn it off. And then I did the piano. I've been practicing this entire time.
We were just talking about how the piano cannot be checked to see whether it's warm or not.
Right, right. Nobody knows if you've been practicing your piano. Huh.
I didn't have to practice anything.
Well, but... I lived in a weird place, and it was antenna TV. There was no cable
right. Where
I lived.
Okay.
And there was a Canadian...
We just didn't have cable.
Yeah, we just didn't have cable either.
Well,
we didn't have
cable where I lived. It was a Canadian TV station, and Funorama was an hour-long thing of Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
It was on right when you got home from school. And then after that was Brady Bunch, which was in syndication. This was not first-run Brady Bunch. I'm not quite that old. And then,
it's a good thing you're not defensive about it.
And then I think my mom would get home, and so then there was dinner, and then there was adjourning to The Muppet Show.
Oh.
And World News Tonight with Peter Jennings.
Oh, Peter Jennings.
Right. Because there was just, there was only 30 minutes of news
in
any given
day. Animated Peter Jennings?
It was not animated Peter Jennings.
That's too bad. So I printed out this list of children's television series.
A 400-page list.
14 pages long in three columns. And there are an awful lot of animated versions of regular quotation mark shows, like Laverne and Shirley.
Is there an animated Punky Brewster? Is that what I see over there?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
I did not clip the theme song for that, but I have it in my head. Don't worry.
Oh, good. So wait, what else is there?
On the list?
No, things that we watched per Jenny's suggestion.
Okay.
That we might want to discuss with her.
So we talked about Forchester Hotel. I think our general consensus was... We love the Muppets and we love English accents, but we don't like Forchester Hotel. I think it treated everyone like they were dumb.
Yes. Yes, it did. So going on to like weird Sesame Street offshoots, I had you watch an episode of Fun Fun Ella, which is entirely animated and entirely in Mandarin.
Yes.
And I don't know if you understand Mandarin at all.
No.
I only know hello.
Yeah, ni hao. I was like, I got that one.
I love Fun Fun Elmo because it is fascinating to see how you do early literacy with a non-alphabetic language.
Oh.
So instead of having like a letter of the day, they focus on a character. And there's a live action segment that deals with the character, but it deals with like five characters.
Yep.
And so they use that live action segment five episodes in a row, but then all the other stuff around it is like one specific character. And everyone has this talk show with Guy Smiley like interviewing the character of the day, and one of the things they do is they do stroke count for each character, because how many strokes are in a character and like which parts are a character is kind of how you order characters, so kind of the non-alphabetic equivalent of alphabetizing something.
Really?
Yes, that is why stroke count is so important, and also stroke order is really important to make it look right. And so that's why they're always counting the strokes and highlighting like which order you draw them in. But you know, my daughter can totally count to 10 in Chinese.
Awesome.
Just from watching all of those stroke order segments.
That's and all the fascinating.
And it's also really interesting because it is very recognizably Elmo in Super Sesame Street, and seems very Sesame Street while still being one of the most Chinese things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it has a catchy music.
Like, it does, but they blend like how Chinese game shows and Chinese children's television shows, and how like, and by Chinese I mean like mainland Chinese, because that's the TV I've seen, and like what that looks like and what that feels like with the Sesame Street aesthetic, like really, really well, in a way that's just amazing and mind blowing. And it's all on YouTube, so if your kids are interested in watching 10 minutes of Mandarin Elmo and learning how to count to 10 through stroke count segments, you know, it's called Fun Fun Elmo. And it's super, it is fun.
Yeah, we thought it was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Even though Elmo's voice is particularly grating to me. Anna was saying that she was old enough to not be an Elmo fan. And it's Elmo's voice that is off-putting for me. It's not, I love that he's like Red Grover. But
yes.
I just like Grover.
Oh, here's the thing though. Sometimes when you're watching super old school Sesame Street, like Elmo's there as like background Muppet.
Oh, yes.
I think if you... It's on YouTube. It's I Left My Cookie at the Disco.
Oh, I've seen that.
From, like, super old school Sesame Street. And Elmo's, like, one of the Muppets dancing at
the
disco.
Good.
One of my favorite books is Monster at the end of this book.
Mine, too.
That is a really good app.
Yes, it is.
It really is. I got it as,
it's
like,
an amazing app.
Free download.
I got it for Little G.
Ago.
Yeah, he used to read it. And then the sequel is not as good because it has Elmo in it.
Of course.
Yes.
Excellent.
So we also watched Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
Daniel Tiger.
Which we had
no previous experience of, and we were like, wait, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Daniel Tiger, what's happening?
So, you may remember Daniel Tiger was one of the things in the Land of Make-Believe.
Nope.
So, you may remember at the end of Mr. Rogers, the trolley went into, like, this land, in the Land of Make-Believe, and it was all, like, puppets and life and, like, people interacting. And they told, like, a little serialized story every week.
Vaguely, yes.
Huh.
And there was a king. King
Freddy. King Freddy.
I didn't watch Mr.
That
Rogers.
Makes sense. Prince Tuesday.
Prince Tuesday. Didn't we think Prince Wednesday was Prince Tuesday's boyfriend?
But no, I think they're brothers.
They're brothers.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, the conceit of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is... So, Daniel Tiger was one of the puppets, and he is now Daddy Tiger. And so, the Daniel Tiger is Daniel Tiger Jr.
Oh,
so it's kind of like Land of Make-Believe Next Generation, except for King Friday.
Prince Tuesday
grew up, and now he has, like, another little kid, a Prince Wednesday. So they do, like, very Mr. Rogers-y things, and it's all about reassuring kids and how to do stuff. And every episode has a catchy jingle, which you can then sing at your child in real-life situations.
Catchy.
Define catchy.
You will wake up in the middle of the night singing,
Grown-ups,
come back to you. Grown-ups, come back, it's true.
Grown-ups.
There is now an app that you can download that has all of Daniel Tiger's helpful songs for better living, so you can play them at the right moment when you need them to deal with the situation.
Nope.
Helpful songs for better living.
I have quotes from Aline watching this episode about Daniel's babysitter. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, but here's my question about the economy of Daniel Tigerland. Because the prince is the babysitter.
Yeah.
And he's in another episode, he's also a waiter. So what's going on there?
He was disowned for being gay.
The royals.
Oh, yeah, probably. Also, yeah, I mean, you would think he'd be benefiting from the white supremacy that still reigns even in make-believe land.
Right, but no.
But no, because he was gay and was disowned.
Right.
So here are Aline's. So at some point, Daniel Tiger misplaces his toy, Tiggy, and Aline said, you left it in the living room. I know how this works. I see Tiggy. So one of the features of this kind of show is that Daniel Tiger talks to you, the person watching, and, like, gives you a little bit of time to answer his question or do whatever the thing is. And that is not my favorite thing.
But Sesame Street's always done that.
Yes.
Yeah, but Sesame Street
has always opened that way. But, so here's the thing that's interesting. As people may know, may be wondering why we let our children watch so much TV, even though
we're all librarians.
They say that, you know, no screen time before 2. But it's interesting because they did this study where basically if you show kids a video of something happening, they don't learn as well as if they see, like, the live action version. But if the video, it breaks the fourth wall and, like, talks to the kids and, like, leaves the pause, then those differences disappear.
Yeah, because kids can't tell that something's not real. Right. There's some sort of cognitive development thing where it takes kids a while to figure out that things aren't real. Yeah.
Also, the no screen time rules are based on kids learn better from a real person than the TV. And so they've set up this false dichotomy that if your kid weren't watching TV, you'd be interacting with them in a meaningful way instead of, like...
Incorrect.
Going to the bathroom.
Right.
Or making coffee. So you could interact with them in a more meaningful way
the show
later.
Ni Hao Kai Lan, which I don't know if you've watched any of... I think that it had the fourth wall breaking pauses, and that is how I learned all the Chinese that I know.
But okay,
does that too?
Anything else about Tiger?
So you also said I think it's great that they have a gay babysitter. And then when at the end of the episode, real people appeared on the screen doing real things, she said, "Good night, Veronica. Your parents may never come home."
I'm sorry. I was a great babysitter.
So when my oldest is about 3 or 4, my husband is traveling a lot for work. And every night he was gone, we had to watch the Grown Ups Come Back episode of Daniel Tiger.
Really?
That's so sad. Yes.
We did really like that in the live action part, the mom was traveling for work.
We liked it. I thought that she should do a better job of securing the picture that she had sticking out of her purse.
That's going to fall out.
Should have it like super glued? I don't know.
But there are, like, I mean, I will say the songs are super helpful. You got to try new food because it might taste good.
I should sing that to That's Anna.
Hey, now. I won't believe you.
When you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to four. One, two, three, four.
Now Anna should sing that to me.
That's true, I should.
If you have to go potty, stop and go right away. Flush and wash and be on your way.
This is great. I think you need to put out an album.
There is an album already, or an app.
Right, there's an app. Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. So, that's Daniel Tiger. I like the fact that Lady Elaine still has her crazy purple eyeshadow.
We didn't get to see her in this episode.
Yeah. She has her crazy purple eyeshadow. Also, Lady Elaine's daughter is named Miss Elena, which is amazing.
She is.
Oh, Miss Elena.
She was in it.
Yes, she
was. Yeah, we saw her. Yes.
She was in the school episode.
Yeah, all the kids are.
Half of the episode.
Also, I'm kind of wondering why Mommy Tiger has to wear pants, but the boy tigers don't.
Interesting.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Also, in later seasons, Daniel Tiger gets a baby sister, and that's where I seriously question Mommy Tiger's parenting choices and how she deals with sibling issues.
Interesting.
So, like, Daniel Tiger has a play date, and the baby comes and ruins everything, and when Daniel's like, Mom, the baby's ruining everything, she's like, learn to play with your sister, and I'm like, no. Take the baby out of the room. Your kid's allowed to play with his friends without, like, the baby coming and ruining everything and having to deal with that. take the baby away.
Yeah.
There's another one, like, she's slightly fussy, and so Mommy Tiger and Daddy Tiger are ignoring, like, Daniel's show that he and his friends are doing at the park for them so they can, like, both jiggle keys at the baby. And I'm like, it only takes one of you to jiggle keys. The other one can, like, watch Daniel for 5 minutes as he sings the song. Like,
probably true, yes.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to divide and conquer sometimes. That's why you have two parents.
But we're always going to see these parents in real life and on television.
True.
This is true.
I try not to judge real parents, but I'll totally judge TV parents.
I support this.
Because real parents, you don't know what else is going on. TV parents don't exist outside that 15-minute episode, so.
Maybe they can be good examples for us all, or bad examples that we don't follow.
Is it like watching Hoarders? Are they supposed to make us feel better?
Maybe.
Okay.
I think Daniel Tiger plays very well on being something new while still very much tapping into the nostalgia parents have for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Also, for gay subtext.
Right? We can find it anywhere. It's not hard for us.
Oh, but the Owl is still, like, a confirmed bachelor, and his kid is actually his nephew, X, the Owl.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Of course
and
it is.
Still, and he's still living next door to Henrietta Pussycat, who's a single mom.
Well, that's good.
But, yeah, I'm like, Oh, and he's also the librarian.
Oh, okay.
Of course he is.
That makes perfect sense. We also watched A Little Adventure Times, Changing Age Brackets.
Yes.
So I checked out the first disc of Adventure Time from the library, and I watched some of it, and I was like, I don't like it. But I had borrowed this Stakes DVD, which is about the vampire girl.
Marceline, the vampire.
And how Princess Bubblegum is going to make her not be a vampire anymore. And we watched two episodes of it last night, and I appreciated where the plot seemed to be going. And I was like, that's fine, but I still don't like the art style or the humor.
Adventure Time is weird.
But it's not like Over the Garden Wall weird, it's just a different weird.
Yeah. And it's not one I normally would have let my oldest watch, except I started watching it right when my youngest was born. And it was one of those, it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I'd been up all night because I had a two-week-old situation. And my youngest woke up and was watching it with me, and I was too tired to be like, change.
Close your eyes.
Programs. Yeah. It was, and she's like, this is great. Let's watch more. And I'm like, this really isn't for you, but okay, whatever.
As soon as we started watching it, I was like, hey, those are the things that come up in every gift search I do.
Yes.
And I'm not sure why, but now I have a frame of reference.
And Adventure Time, it grows on you, I think. Because I'd seen like a few episodes before and hadn't been into it, but I was like, I'm just going to binge this because it's 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And I do really, really like it now. I also like it because it's one of those, much like Steven Universe, it's, you know, 11, 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see that being appealing. And I thought that this, like, lady-centric episode might be something that would intrigue us more.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. And I don't think it's bad. It's just like...
Well, you just don't like it as much as you like other stuff.
It's an acquired taste. I would do... One thing I like, though, is sometimes there's an episode where the Ice King is writing fanfic about everyone around him.
That...
It's gender-flipped.
I could get into that.
Yeah.
And so it's the Adventures of Fiona and Cake, the cat.
This is good.
It's really funny because it's a completely gender-flipped episode when that happens, which is very fun.
I could see it growing on me. It's got a sort of, the pacing of it is the kind of thing that I would have had on for hours on end while I was doing email cleanup on an evening or day off in my past job. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that kind of feeling for me.
And it is oddly serial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not completely episodic. There are, like, these long-running arcs through it, and sometimes short-running arcs for, like, an episode span. And, like, once you've, like, watched a lot of it, you're like, oh, I see how this is all building in a way that a lot of other shows don't build.
What I do appreciate is that Rebecca Sugar, who created Steven Universe, worked on Adventure Time before she left to do Steven Universe, which I would rather watch.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. That means it fostered something that we love. Did we talk about Steven Universe yet?
Not yet.
Is it time?
Sure.
We love Steven Universe.
So I've seen 3 episodes and it was adorable.
It is adorable. And it is one of the few shows that will have not even subtext.
Yeah.
Relationships between ladies. So that's very exciting.
There's Garnet's origin story episode.
Oh my god.
It will make you cry.
It will make you cry.
Buckets and buckets and buckets of crying. I highly, I don't like to use the word recommend. I highly suggest it.
I will definitely be watching more Steven Universe.
Did you also watch any of Gravity Falls, Jenny?
I watched the first episode of that one. So I liked it. I have this love-hate relationship with Christian Schaal.
Yeah, who voices, what's her name? I can't remember now. Mabel.
Mabel,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the voices as much as I like everything else about Gravity Falls.
The best thing about Gravity Falls is that it is, like, done. And so you watch it, it's like 2 seasons or whatever, it's a certain number of episodes and they have like a climactic event and then it's done.
It's over.
It made Little G cry though when we got to the finale and everyone went their own ways.
Yeah. I love the Twin Peaks Pacific Northwest thing that it's got going on myself. Because
it's like a tiny X-Files.
It's a tiny X-Files set in Twin Peaks. It's everything you could want.
It's the ideal show for me. We had some friends over who had never seen it, but they like Dungeons & Dragons, so we played them the episode that is a spoof of that.
It's called Dungeons and More Dungeons, if you want to seek it out. And it is brilliant, and of course, after doing that, our friends went home and started watching it and watched all of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'll
probably watch more.
Yeah, it's fun. Why are you pointing at me?
I'm pointing at you. What else did we watch? I feel like we talked about a lot.
We haven't talked about
My Little Pony.
NLP.
Oh, My Little Pony. Okay, so...
Did you watch the original My Little Pony at all?
No, I was too old for it.
I did, and I have watched it recently because that is also on Netflix. So I have seen both recently. And so I've seen original My Little Pony both when I was a little and recently. And I will say the new My Little Pony is so much better.
It really is. I can confirm.
So much better. Because especially when you go back and watch the originals now, the original was so insipid. And what I like about the new My Little Pony is they all have distinct characters, but they also have, like, career paths that they're on. Like, they have jobs and, like, motivations and goals beyond, like, saving the day.
Okay.
One of these, like, very long-term arching plots is, like, Rarity getting a collection together and opening a shop in Manhattan, which is, like, the big city in Canterlot, for her clothes. You know, Applejack's always, like, working on her farm and trying to keep her farm going, and Rainbow Dash, like, really wants to join this very elite flying squad.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
And she works really hard and has to go to, like, auditions and stuff for it. Like, it's, they all have very, like, you know, they have career trajectories and ambitions. They're ambitious.
This is very, very important. I think it's important for young people to know that being a pony is not enough.
And it does give valuable lessons on how to be a good friend.
And how to deal with
real friendship situations that come up.
Yeah. And also the part where you don't always know what you are going to be. Like, you don't get a cutie mark until there's some pivotal event. And then that helps identify who you are.
The cutie mark's like this big puberty metaphor.
Yeah.
Because there are, like, these, like, younger ponies, and they don't have their cutie marks yet, and the other, like, the mean girls tease them for being blank blanks.
Yeah.
Because their hindquarters are blank. Yeah, you have to, like, find, like, what you're good at to get your cutie mark, and it is this really interesting metaphor for hitting puberty and getting your period.
Plus, there are great songs.
There are. And sometimes they go to the bowling alley, and the Big Lebowski is there bowling.
Yep.
Really?
Yes, there is a Walter.
Allie doesn't know it yet, but we're going to see the movie.
When is the movie coming out?
Soon.
Really soon.
Oh,
like this
dear.
Or next.
Like, yes. Imminently. That's right.
Okay.
So, but we should talk about Zecora.
We should. Before Zecora, I want to say one other thing that they get right. And I think this is brilliant because the theme song starts, My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
Which was the original,
Yes, it starts the exact same way the original did, which, like, automatically is going to pull in, you know, me.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, my daughter should watch that show. Because it, like, has that nostalgia factor so well interplayed. But it is another one with a lot of, like, adult references, like the Lebowski ponies. At one point, Twilight tells you that winter is coming. There's a Doctor Who pony.
There is.
There is.
Have you been watching My Little Pony when I've been asleep?
No, Little G and I watched it long ago.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the things we watched together.
Okay.
But then you have Zecora. Oh, Zecora. Oh.
So why did they do that?
I don't know. I mean, like, if you read, like, My Little Pony wiki up, like, fan wiki thing, apparently she was supposed to be a more regular character who would, like, guide them on their quests, which is even worse.
Yeah.
So for those who don't watch My Little Pony, Zecora is a zebra who lives in the Everfree Forest, and all the ponies are afraid of her until Apple Bloom, I can't remember her name, the Applejack's little sister, like, realizes she's actually really helpful and nice and knows all these herbal remedies and lives in a hut in the Everfree Forest with African tribal masks. And she only speaks in rhyme in this very kind of generic African accent. And she's one of those characters I think was really well-intentioned and ended up just being super problematic.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yeah. So as soon as she started talking, we were like, oh no. Well, that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
We saw her from.
That's why I told you to watch the Zecora episode.
We saw her from a distance, and she's, like, shrouded, and she sticks one hoof out, and she's got bracelets on her hoof. And then her part of her head pops out of the hood, and she's got big earrings on, and then when they show her unshrouded, we'll put a picture in the show notes, she's got necklaces on, and then she's speaking in this, as you said, very vaguely, generically African cadence and in rhyme.
Yeah.
It was interesting and terrible.
And when was it made?
I think in the last 5 years or something.
2010. Okay. To the present or so.
Yeah. And she's still like an occasional character.
Yeah.
I like her a lot in that she's very no-nonsense in a way sometimes they need. Like, someone needs to be like, dude, chill. No. And she's a character that fulfills that role, but yeah, that could have been done a lot better.
Yeah. The thing I was thinking about is, so we rewatched the first two episodes with little G. Mm-hmm. And when we first watched it, he was, I don't know, he was like 3 or 4. And he was like, you could not convince him that Rainbow Dash was not a boy. And I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't try hard. I just like corrected him once and he was like, no. I was like, okay, I understand you want Rainbow Dash to be a boy. That's fine. So we will watch the movie and we'll report back.
I think I'm going to probably have to watch more of the show so that I understand the movie.
Right, probably.
There is a really fun fandom episode where Rainbow Dash is super into this series of books called, like, Daring Do. And she goes to the Daring Do convention and meets, like, this, like, and actually you're not a real fan because you don't know this, like, fansplaining fanboy who's voiced by Patton Oswalt.
Perfect.
Yes.
It oh, make a amazing. Note. I want to watch that before I have to watch any more.
Okay.
All right. What else did we watch?
I think that's all we watched.
That's all we watched?
I mean, in preparation for this, I have a whole list of things I watched as a child.
Yeah,
but...
I saw you highlighting that 14-page list. A lot of times when we are talking about something like this on an episode, we ask our guest and each other what our history is with the thing being discussed. And I think that this 14-page list of shows might make that conversation a little long.
Yes, 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 yes.
And there are things that I don't remember anything about except, like, I know that I watched the Newser review and it had these Barney-esque characters, but there was a hippo and a frog, Freddy Frog. But I think I looked that up in college when I was trying to figure out what it was that I watched when I was a little tiny kid, because of course my mom blocked it all out. And there was Sesame Street and there was The Electric Company.
Yes, I watched those.
And I think that both of those still exist.
I don't know if The Electric Company does. I don't know about The
Electric Company.
Wasn't Silent E as a Ninja on The Electric Company?
I think it came back and then went away again.
Yeah, it's gone now, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Did you watch 3-2-1 Contact?
No. I watched the Bloodhound Gang.
I love the Bloodhound Gang. That was the best part. Like,
did you watch
Square One was good too.
Square One was the best. With
MathNet instead of Dragnet.
Mm-hmm. I also was a really big Ghost Rider fan.
I never watched it.
Ghost Rider was like full of middle school drama, but for PBS.
So the shows that called to me most when I was like a medium child were the action-y, adventure-y ones. So I loved He-Man and She-Ra and Thundercats and Voltron and, like, anything that involved sort of a mild battle plot that recurred every episode. G.I. Joe also.
I loved Thundar the Barbarian.
Okay. See, you're a little bit older.
I'm not a little bit older.
Oh, Inspector Gadget. That was, yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. I really loved the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego game show.
Oh, yes, that was a good one.
Rockapella. And I really am confused why they haven't turned that computer game into an app yet.
I don't know.
Why haven't they?
I would buy every single version and play the heck out of it.
Right?
As a
that would be awesome. Maybe someone should get on that.
And then
I'd
like make
that.
My kids play it for geography reasons.
Right. I have a note here on Kim Possible. Does fanfic count? I never watched an episode, but I've read some fanfic.
I watched Kim Possible in college.
Interesting.
I think.
I watched The Tick in college.
Of course you did. The Tick. That was when I was a grown up working.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember it.
I really like Square One. Was that Canadian?
I don't know.
Feels like it was Canadian. I'm not sure if it was. I'm not sure if it was. Oh, the Care Bears.
I remember the Care Bears, but I don't think I watched them.
I was more interested in the Care Bear movies and the Care Bear show.
Square One was Children's Television Workshop.
Okay.
CTV.
There was the block of Disney-related ones, so DuckTales and Tailspin and Chippendales Rescue Rangers and all of those. They all had similarly catchy theme songs.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Nope.
It wasn't a show. It was in commercial breaks on Saturday morning TV.
But yeah. See, Saturday morning.
Yeah. I watched
Reading Rainbow.
A lot of the Jetsons.
Reading Rainbow, yeah.
Wasn't Reading Rainbow on, like, mid-morning on Saturdays?
I think I caught some of it.
Because it feels like it was on after I had to turn the TV off.
But that was also when they'd show you in school.
Point.
I definitely predate showing you TV in school.
Fraggle Rock. A Little G has watched some Dinosaur Train, some Wild Kratts. Oh, Gargoyles, that was
dinosaur
a good show.
Dinosaur Train.
Yeah, Dinosaur Train is one of those theme songs. We saw a bunch of, when we got Daniel Tiger and Peppa Pig in DVD format from work, and it was like auto-playing us all these little PBS adlets, and I was like, oh yeah, Dinosaur Train. I remember that one.
Hmm.
We watched that for a while.
I didn't.
Well.
Did not watch Dinosaur Train.
It's not, I mean, I think that you would not be that interested in it. There are other shows I would make you watch first.
I do have a patron at the library who calls periodically and wants me to get on the PBS website. And golly, it's been like a year since I, or, you know, 8 or 9 months since I talked to this patron. They want me to get on the PBS website and tell them when all of the Curious George specials are going to be on.
Okay.
And so they want to know when the Curious George Halloween special is going to be on and when the Curious George Christmas special is going to be on. And in case you were wondering, PBS websites aren't really great for schedule grids.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
They are a pain in the neck.
You know, Little G does like the Curious George specials, which I am not that fond of.
I don't know if we've seen the specials. My oldest used to be really into Curious George. She called it Curious Monkey for a while.
Little G has a particular attachment.
For reasons.
Yeah,
we've watched some, but I think that Curious George's voice is in the Elmo register for me.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
That's a thing that drives me out of a room pretty quickly, but
plus, the whole backstory is so weird.
Yeah. Speaking of problematic. Okay, so do we have closing thoughts?
Closing remarks on children's television?
Peppa Pig is adorable.
Yes.
And I'm glad that my daughter likes Danger Mouse.
I don't think I've ever seen Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse is great. It's British. It's very, like, James Bondy.
Great.
But less problematic because it's British. And the villain sounds like Lord Voldemort, but he's a giant toad.
I'm here for that.
It's also like one where it's short. It's like 15 minutes.
We can do that. I appreciate that when we're trying to get out the door.
Right. I like those intervals because in the morning when it's parking Little G in front of something while Anna is bustling around making his lunch and I'm getting in the shower. But then if another one starts, then it's like a 30-minute thing, and he will not be as enthusiastic about leaving the house.
That's true.
It's like if they're really good for, like, I'm like, well, dinner's going to be ready in like 15 minutes, which is just a little too long, but not long enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look into it. We started watching the Star Trek animated series also.
That was good.
That was good.
I liked it. Better special effects than the original series. Mm,
this is true. Well, now that he's 8, there's a little bit more leeway, I feel. I don't know.
He doesn't have to ride in a car seat, so right. He can watch whatever he wants.
Pretty much?
Yeah. I'm going to start him on rated R movies soon.
Well, he wants to watch Jaws.
Perfect.
So you and he can watch Jaws together.
Okay.
Without me.
That's going to ruin Cape Cod for him. Starfish.
So I think that we have a bunch of possibilities to watch for ourselves. We haven't done as well for him since most of the stuff we reviewed is like for tiny people.
Yeah, because my kids are younger.
But
than
I feel
him.
Better equipped if a parent comes to me and says, "What should I have my kids watch?"
I'll be like Peppa Pig.
Yeah, Peppa. Obviously. We have it at my library. I can just go right to the shelf and be like, "Here you go."
Perfect. I am not called upon to do that because our children's department is heavily segregated in our building. I don't even know how to get there. But I will pass along the information because I often lunch with children's room staff.
Yeah, you could just review your collection. Make sure you're on track.
Sounds good.
So I'll thanks for down. Introducing us to Peppa Pig.
No problem. I apologize for the Furchester. Oh. My advice to everyone out there in listener land, don't watch it. Just stay far, far away from the Furchester as possible.
Even if you're a Muppet completist.
Oh my gosh.
Even if you're a Muppet completist, this is not a worthy use of the slicing in half of ping pong balls. That's how you make Muppet eyes.
Oh, yes. Thanks. I was looking at her like,
Anna didn't know what that referred to.
I'm sorry.
Your eyes are like two ping pong balls floating in a sea of green algae.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jenny, do you have a musical obsession?
Beyond the DuckTales slow jam.
Wait, yeah, right. DuckTales slow jam. Sorry. Do you have other slow jams or something else for us? You can have more than one since you had one earlier.
There might, yeah.
For a song, so friend of the show, Kate from Worst Bestsellers, got me into Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Of course she did.
Oh, great.
And there is, you know, one of kind of the aria songs in there is called, it's called No One Else.
No One Else. I'm going to mention that Patti LuPone does a guest voice on Steven Universe.
Nice.
Patti LuPone. No One Else, you said?
No One Else.
Yeah, No One Else from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Okay. And I'd also like to recommend, I don't know if y'all play the iPad, the app of Two Dots.
Which,
aka Hipster Candy Crush.
Yes.
But on Spotify, they have the soundtracks as albums.
Interesting. Really? I never listen to music of any of the games I play.
Right.
But I listen to this on Spotify because it is the perfect background music because it's peppy, so it won't, like, lull you to sleep. Like, a lot of, like, focus
playlists. I should try it at work.
Oh.
But it's wordless. And so it is really great, like, when you're trying to, like, get in the zone as you go through an issue of Kirkus.
I was just going to say, it sounds like good selection music.
It is. It's great selection music.
All right. This is good. I will link to that and so that you can use it for your own purposes. Anna, do you have a musical obsession?
I do. It is a song.
What?
From My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
My Little Pony.
This is a song called Winter Wrap-Up.
Did I hear it?
Which you heard before because it is on our Disney playlist.
Oh, for
even though it's not a
loud.
Disney song because it has that vibe. It's been stuck in my head for approximately 4 years and now it will be on this list.
Yay!
Okay. Well, my musical obsession, as we are recording this the day after the world lost Tom Petty, is End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys. I am the right age to be a huge Tom Petty fan, and yet I wasn't really a huge Tom Petty fan, but Silence of the Lambs did wonders for Tom Petty.
Friend of the show, Tom Petty.
Friend of the show, and he is a friend of the podcast, Tom Petty. He was discussed at length in episode 1 as the summer song.
Yep.
Which summer song was it?
I don't think it was American Girl. I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. It was 71 episodes ago.
It was. And I turned to a coworker yesterday. I said this to Anna, too, but I said it through Instant Messenger, so it didn't have the right effect. And I turned to my coworker and I said, you know what, Molly? You don't have to live like a refugee. And the blank stare was priceless. Because, of course, it doesn't sound the same.
No, it really doesn't.
Say it.
Don't back down.
Don't back down. I won't back down.
Okay.
So that is my musical obsession. Jenny, do you have a regular obsession?
I do. So there is this knitting pattern that a friend of mine tweeted out a few weeks ago, and I've knitting it right now and I'm obsessed with it. So it's called Fox Paws by Zandi Peters. It is on Ravelry and it is insane because it looks like really intricate color work, but when you knit it, it's just stripes, but the way the increases and the decreases work make it look like it's not just striped. And it's fascinating. I have spent a lot of time analyzing like knitting construction and how patterns are constructed. And I do a lot of my own knitwear design. And I haven't come across something that has just messed with my mind and how things are constructed like this in a really long time. And it's just been really fun to knit and really fun to try to wrap my head around and see.
It's so. Really beautiful. Anna just pulled it up on the screen, and it's gorgeous. And that is just striping?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is only, yeah, you're only working with one yarn at a time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about following patterns. I am a washcloth knitter, so I like know words that have to do with knitting and yarn.
Knit and purl, got it.
And I have been to yarn stores, I have knitting projects,
but I've never
in
been
a bag.
To me.
But a couple episodes ago, Kelly Maher was talking about something that she had just knitted, and so now I feel like we have a theme, and we're going to just have to have someone on to talk about knitting, or we're going to have to talk to our guests about knitting more regularly. What's your obsession, Anna?
Okay, well, I think it's sort of a joint obsession.
Is it?
I just remembered it.
Okay.
After spending the whole episode thinking, what am I obsessed by? I don't remember. We have previously been obsessed on this show by the iPad, iPod, iCrackers game. The app.
Oh, no.
Gardenscapes, which is, speaking of problematic, it has its own issues with, you know, the main character reminiscing about dressing up as Indians with his best friend, the carpenter, etc.
But wait.
The main problem with Gardenscapes is that the character you're supposed to interface with is a fussy butler who is annoying as heck. So they've come out with a new game called Homescapes, where you are renovating... Well, he seems to be renovating his parents' house by force.
Yes, against their will. His parents just want to sell their house and retire to a nice little condo. And he shows up and says, you can't sell the house, and he starts renovating it around them.
Right. So you've taken the worst part of an otherwise enjoyable game and built a new game around him. And he keeps having these conversations with his parents about, like, you surely don't want to move now. And they're like, we just want to get an apartment. Anyway.
And they're like, it's cozier with a rug, but we still want to move out.
So, yeah, we're sort of going along to see where it's going to take us in this journey of not liking Austin the butler.
So, I'll agree it's a bit of a joint obsession, and I had it in my head that it was going to be an obsession because we just picked it up this week, and we'll link to it. If you started playing Gardenscapes because we talked about it, which I think at least one listener did,
and
you might want to try Homescapes, and we will report back. We are only about 40 levels into it, so... Which sounds terrible, but really, that's not that much. Anna's more than 1,000 levels into Gardenscapes.
Wow.
Yeah, she's really good at it. My obsession, did you want to know my obsession too, since you covered Homescapes, even though I agree? Anyone who follows me on Twitter or may have noticed, I don't know how carefully people follow each other on Twitter anymore. Every now and then I go check somebody's feed and then I accidentally favorite something they posted 4 days ago and I wonder what they think. But I am obsessed with online shopping, not from Amazon. So we are a non-Amazon family, as we have discussed before. And I read BuzzFeed lists that are like the 20 things that everybody loves on Amazon right now. And if I find something that I want to buy, I have to go out and try to find how to get it not on Amazon. And sometimes this presents a fun challenge. And a week ago, I was looking at a BuzzFeed list and I found something I wanted to buy and then I found it not on Amazon and I ordered it because Anna's birthday is tomorrow and I am trying to buy her things and this thing showed up in an Amazon envelope and I am still mad. I am shaking. I'm so mad about this. It doesn't say Amazon anywhere. It just has that blasted smiley arrow swoop thing on it and I'm so mad about it. So I would like to suggest to everyone that you shop on Etsy or eBay or go direct to the manufacturer if you possibly can.
When do you think that Amazon will purchase Etsy?
They probably already have.
Mm.
And I'm sure that Amazon owns everything. And I've talked about this before, how I am so deeply conflicted because 20 years ago, Amazon was a little local startup for Seattle people. And, you know, we supported the heck out of it. And it has become something that is not that. And I want
I will help you. If you need to DM me, if you need something, or if you need want to break free of Amazon, I have all kinds of strategies as a really hardcore shopper who likes to have things brought to my home instead of having to go out and get them. I welcome your contact.
Okay. I did check to see how much money I had spent in our local independent bookstore, and it is, well, I ordered at least $500 of stuff, and then I'm sure while we were in there, I purchased an additional $300 to $400 in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And since I checked last week or earlier this week, I have placed a couple more orders. So
yeah, well, good for you, and good for us for buying books and giving books to people. I'd say you do order more, you spend more on your orders than you do in the store, but sometimes we go in the store and we've got stuff to pick up and you're like, well, I need to get my dad a birthday present. And so that,
well, yeah. So I ordered, I ordered romance to pick up because they don't have a romance section. Sadly. I'm hoping if I order enough romance to pick up, they'll be like, maybe we should have a romance section. You never know. Maybe I should just talk to them about it since I seem to be supporting them.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with romance and politics and prose, which is like the big indie here in the DC area,
yep.
Just did their first romance event and was shocked because it was like one of the biggest ones they'd ever had and one of the most diverse crowds they'd ever had.
No kidding.
Yeah, I read about that. Wasn't Sarah McLean there?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I was there too. It was,
yay!
Amazing. But they were saying one of the problems with stocking romance is because, like, the profit margin on books is pretty low, and it's even lower on romance, and because it's such a large genre, and so many books come out so frequently, that it's, like, the hardest thing to stock in, like, a smaller bookstore.
Sure, except the McNally Jackson.
McNally Jackson has a stack of it. You know, the...
You just have to have a couple of shelves of, like, just a few titles, and then a willingness to order more for people.
I think that it would be beneficial. I can hear the argument, and then I think if you put two shelves of romance novels somewhere in your fiction section, that is going to be so welcoming to a romance reader. I cannot overstate the joy that I feel when I see romance novels on the shelf at independent booksellers.
Oh, definitely. And politics and prose just started carrying romance, but but part of it was like, please buy this because this is a really big risk for us. And so we want to keep it, but if you want us to keep it, you have to buy it.
Yeah. Well, we have somewhat gotten off track. But anyway, you should all
buy romance. Stayed on brand.
We have to stay on brand. It's true. Everyone buy romance. The end. Yes. Did we make it to the end of our show?
I think we did make it to the end of our show. Hey, thank you for coming, Jenny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was super fun.
Wonderful to have you, and we'll think up another topic and have you back sometime.
Knitting.
Always.
You already know what our timeline is since we first discussed this at the end of May. So.
Right, yeah. Could be a while.
It might be a little while, but keep us in mind if you decide you have got something you want to talk about.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at BellwetherFriends, BellwetherFrnds. I always have to look at it to spell it out. I can't just spell it out.
Okay.
From my head. You can find us on Facebook. Did we pay? I don't think we posted the last episode yet. We'll go do that. You can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
And I'm Jenny, and you can find me all over, but mostly Twitter is where I hang out, at KidSilkHaze, which is KidSilkHaze. And because everyone asks, it is a type of yarn.
Oh!
I already knew that.
I didn't know that. I should have known that. I mean, it's any. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for that. Our in and out music was provided by the lovely Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie.